السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام دكتور سيف، we can hear you just fine.
الحمد لله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
وإن شاء الله we'll be studying سورة التوبة. Continue our study of سورة التوبة and starting with the آية number 25. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد نصركم الله في مواطن كثيرة لقد نصركم الله في مواطن كثيرة ويوم حنين إذ أعجبتكم كثرتكم فلم تغن عنكم شيئا وضاقت عليكم الأرض بما رحبت ثم وليتم مدبرين ثم أنزل الله سكينته على رسوله وعلى المؤمنين وأنزل جنودا لم تروها وعذب الذين كفروا وذلك جزاء الكافرين ثم يتوب الله من بعد ذلك على من يشاء والله غفور رحيم. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the compassionate. Allah indeed granted you victory in many places. Even on the day of Hunain, when your large number impressed you, but it availed you nothing, and the earth became narrow upon you despite its spaciousness. Then you turned back, retreating. Then Allah sent down His tranquility upon His messenger and the believers, and He sent down forces that you did not see, and He punished those who disbelieved, and that is the recompense of disbelievers. Then after that, Allah will relent unto whomsoever He will. Allah is forgiving, merciful. So the discussion has been going on about the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and how the Mushrikeen of Makkah violated that treaty. And then after that, the declaration of disavowal, of cancellation of the treaty. And Bara'atu min Allah, as the surah started with the word Bara'atu min Allah wa Rasul, cancellation, disavowal from Allah and His Messenger. Now, in the previous section, the last ayah that we studied, ayah number 24, it was mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be most dear to you, more than your parent, more than your children, more than your spouses, more than your business, more than homes, all of these things. These things are important, but priority is to Allah and His Messenger. And then now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you should not be too much concerned or frightened with the idea that now we have disavowed the treaty and we don't know what will happen, how we are going to be, everybody going to be against us, and who will defend us and who will help us. So Allah said, لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرًا. Allah has helped you many times. Why are you so much concern and you have anxiety? You should not have any anxiety. Allah has helped you in many occasions, many places. And especially recently in Hunain, Yawma Hunain, the day of Hunain. Hunain was after the Fatha Makkah, after the victory of Makkah. The Taif is the area where you have Hawazin and Saqif tribes. Hawazin and Saqif tribe was very stubborn tribes, very strong, very powerful. And they did not like to see that Islam take over the city of Makkah. Because if they thought that if that happened, then after that, next will be their turn. They are Taif, not too far. And they were people, very fighters. So they wanted to fight. And this is what happened after the battle of Fath Makkah. They prepared for attacking Muslims. So Rasulullah, when he learned about that, he said, all the people who came, I mean, there were almost 10,000, 12,000 Muslims at that time. So he told them, we have to go. And Hunain is closer to Makkah, and it says in a Taif area. So we are going to confront that group of people. And according to the reports, Hawazin al-Saqif brought 4,000 fighters. And then also they said that nobody should go back, fight until the end. And they brought their families with them. They brought their camels, their horses, whatever they had, they brought. So it was almost like 24,000 people. And Muslims were about 10,000 came from Medina and 2,000 from Makkah. Those who accepted Islam and those who were there. So 12,000 Muslims. And Muslims at that time, they never had that many people in their battles. The number was very small and they were able to win over their enemies, even with a small number. But now they had about 12,000. So some Sahaba, some companions of the Prophet ﷺ said, who can defeat us now? We never had that many people. Now we have 12,000. And we just had the victory of Makkah. So who will defeat us? And that was, they did not pay attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَتَلَقِيبْتُمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَلَا تُوَلُّهُمُ الْأَدْبَارِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاسْبُتُوا وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. When you meet your enemy, then you have to be strong. And at the same time, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pay attention to Allah. A victory comes from Allah, not by your numbers. Numbers are important, but the real victory comes from Allah. So some of them forgot that. They did not pay attention to this point. Is a'jabatkum kasratukum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that remember the day of Hunain, you were very impressed by your number. Your number deluded you, and you thought that number is going to bring you victory. But it is Allah who brings the victory. Is ajavatkum kasratakum. You were kind of came into this fitna of our number, our power, our this or that. So Allah says, is ajavatkum kasratakum falam tughni ankum shay'a. And it did not avail you anything. So what happened when the battle started? Then this Saqif and Hawazin people, they came with a force. And they frightened Muslims. And many of them started running back. وَدَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحْبَتْ. The earth, with all its spaciousness, became very narrow for you. You felt that there's no other place to go away. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُ مُدْبِرِينَ. And then you turned back, retreating. So you started running. So many of them, they started running back towards Makkah. But the Rasulullah ﷺ stood firm. And there were some strong Sahaba, they were with the Prophet ﷺ, supporting him. Then he called them, said, where are you, O people? Ana an-nabiyyu la kazib, ana ibn Abdul Muttalib. The Prophet ﷺ said, I am the Prophet, there is no doubt about that, there is no lie about that. And I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. So where are you? So then people regained their strength. They came and they won over their enemies. They realized that they are with the messenger of Allah. So when they realized that and they had the strength and they were together, they were defeated. And so people of Hunain, Hawazin and Saqif, they throwing their arms and Muslims captured a lot of arms, a lot of camels and horses, everything, big booty. And then they brought gold and silver with them. So all of this came as a booty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Daqat alaykum al-ardu bima rahwal. Look at this. Allah has given you this recently, the victory over your enemies. And then Allah says, ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَىٰ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَنزَلَ جُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And then you saw that. After that, after you were running, Allah sent down Sakina on his messenger. Sakina is a comfort, tranquility. Rasulullah was not frightened with that. Rasulullah was strong. And he has comfort on his in his heart. A trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings sakina. Sakina is a special grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sukoon. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَىٰ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah sent down sakina upon his messenger and on the believers. And then sent forces, hosts. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, then you did not see them, but they came to help you. Allah says that Allah can help you. Don't worry. Make your effort and then Allah will help you. فَأَنزَلَ جُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. لَمْ تَرَوْهَا, and you did not see them. They were invisible. So he sent his forces that you did not see. The soldiers that you did not see. وَعَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and punished those who disbelieved. And that is the recompense of the disbeliever. Those believers, if they are true believers on the side, stand firm with obedience to Allah and in the right way, then the disbelievers cannot defeat them. Allah's forces come and they punish them. عَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah punish those who disbelieve. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ. And that is the punishment of the disbelievers. So that is what happened to the people of Hawazin and Thaqif. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, they were defeated, but many of them also became Muslims after that. ثُمَّ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. And you saw that many of them came to Islam. Allah accepts, Allah relents, Allah accept the tawbah. After that, whomsoever he wills, ala man yasha, Allah brings his mercy, his forgiveness upon whomsoever he wills. Wallahu ghafur rahim, Allah is most merciful, Allah is forgiving. So Allah forgave Hawazin and Thaqif, those who repented. Although they came to very strong, actually they wanted to destroy Islam. They wanted to attack the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they were defeated. And after the defeat, They repented. And they ask Allah to forgive them. And Allah accept that. Allah accept the tawbah. ثُمَّ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And then Allah accept the tawbah of those whom we want, whom we will, according to the will of Allah. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. So here is emphasis in this, that you should be strong. Keep your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't give up. Allah helped you in Mawatina Kaseera, at many battlefields, at many occasions, at many places. Allah helped you and gave you victory. And this victory is going to happen also if you are firm in the path of Allah. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنِ إِذَا عَجَبَتْكُمْ كَسَرَتُكُمْ. And the day of Hunayn, remember that. It's not because of your number. It is because of the help of Allah that you became victorious. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that also, not only that, but many people came and they joined the Muslim group and they became Muslims. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu innamal mushrikuna najas fala yaqrabu almasjid alharam ba'd aamihim hadha. وإن خفتم عيلة فسوف يغنيكم الله من فضله وإن خفتم عيلة فسوف يغنيكم الله من فضله إن شاء إن الله عليم حكيم. Or you who believe the idolaters are surely unclean, So let them not come near the sacred mosque after this year of theirs. If you fear poverty, Allah will enrich you from his bounty. If you will, truly Allah is knowing why. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns to the believers and tell them that now mushrikeen who used to be controlling Makkah, Fath Makkah happened. And when the Fath Makkah happened, the city of Makkah came under the control of Islam. Then mushrikeen were still allowed to come and perform Umrah and Hajj. They were not banned from the city immediately. So after Makkah was conquered, they came. But then our Prophet ﷺ sent the next Hajj time, Prophet ﷺ sent Ali radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was leading the Hujjaj and said, give them this announcement that after this year, you will not be allowed to come. So in Makkah, there will be no mushrik. The people of shirk will not come to Makkah. Say, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu innama al-mushrikuna najas. Or you who believe mushrikeen are unclean. But this uncleanliness is not physical uncleanliness. It's not that somebody who is not Muslim is unclean. That's not what Islam teaches. As human beings, they're not. If they are look clean to you, they're clean. So this is not a physical uncleanliness. It means that you can eat with them, you can meet them, hug them, embrace them, it's okay. So they are not physically unclean. But what is unclean is? Unclean is their belief, their shirk. Saying that there is God beside God, this is unclean concept. And this is not a pure concept, this is not a clean concept about God. Allah is one. Allah has no partners. Allah is not has no equals. So this concept is unclean. This concept is not a straightforward concept. So mushrikeen are najis. And this belief, this idea is not good. And in the place of Masjid al-Haram, the sacred mosque, this idea will not be tolerated. Yes, in other places, people can live freely, but not here in Makkah. Not here in the near the Masjid al-Haram, sacred mosque. فَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ They should not approach, they should not come close to even Masjid al-Haram. بَعْدَ عَامِهِمْ هَذَا After this year. So from next year, the year 9 of Hijrah, because the Rasulullah came to perform Hajj in the 10th year of Hijrah. So before his coming, the place has to be cleaned from shirk. So when Rasulullah performs his last Hajj, Hajjatul Wada, which was in the 10th year of Hijrah, no mushrik was there in the Hajj. So, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu innama al-mushrikuna najas, fala yaqrabu al-masjid al-haram ba'da amihim hadha. So they should not come closer to the Masjid al-Haram after this year. Now, ulama have different opinions. Imam Malik says, yes, they cannot come. And they even go further, that not even any mosque. But that is not generally accepted. Majority of the Muslims, scholars, they say they can come to any other mosque if they want to, but not to Masjid al-Haram. The Masjid al-Haram is special, has a special status. And Imam Shafi'i says that they can come to other mosques, but not Masjid al-Haram. And during the time of Hajj, they cannot come. So Imam Abu Hanifa says, they can come to Masjid al-Haram, but not for Hajj, not for Umrah. So that means Masjid is forbidden to them. Other place, they can come. They can come to Makkah, according to Imam Abu Hanifa. But that's not the majority opinion. Majority opinion is they cannot come to Makkah, and that's what is being practiced. That they cannot enter the Makkah and surroundings. So you have around the Haram, there is an area called Mintaqa Mahzura li ghayr al-Muslimin, the area that is forbidden to non-Muslims. So they are not allowed to go there. So this area is preserved for Islam and for Muslims. So, but there, as I said, there are different opinions on that. The majority opinion is that they cannot come. فَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ بَعْدَ عَامِهِمْ هَذَا. So they do not, they cannot come closer to Masjid al-Haram, Masjid, after this year. And Allah says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ عَيْلَةً فَصَوْفَ يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If you are afraid of poverty, Allah will make you, Allah will enrich you. Because Hajj was not only the time of pilgrimage, but it's also commercial activity. A lot of business. People used to bring their goods to Makkah, and they buy the goods from Makkah and take them to their places. So at Hajj time, there was a lot of economic activity going on. And it still goes on, but at that time, that was the only thing. There was no oil, and there was no need for oil at that time. So now, that was, the people of Makkah used to depend on that. And not only people of Makkah, but a large number of people of Arabia, they used to depend on the Hajj transactions, Hajj commercial activity. It was a big event when people come from all different areas and perform. And that's why that time of Hajj was the sacred time, no fight, so that people can travel for 3 months of Hajj, and then after that 1 month of Muharram, I mean Rajab before that, but then after Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hajjah, and Muharram, these 3 months were sacred months. And the Arabs, they used to see that a lot of people should come. And if they see that the weather is too hot, they used to change the calendar. And you say, this year Dhul Hajjah will come later. So they used to confuse the month, Nasi. So sometimes this come before, sometimes come later, all of this kind of play with the month was coming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid that. No, don't worry about that. Because they were thinking people will not come, and if too hot weather, it will be very difficult for people to be there. So why not have it Hajj in the winter time? And make the Hajj in winter instead of summertime. So it was forbidden. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in khiftum aylatan, if you are afraid of poverty, Allah will make you rich. So fa yughnikum Allah min fadli. And so what happened after that, never people had financial problem. Always enough things. The food was enough, the fruits were enough, the transactions were going on, people were coming and still coming, whatever the weather, whatever the situation, people are coming. So don't be afraid of that. In khiftum aylatan fasawfa yughnikum Allah min fadli. Actually, even though other people were stopped, they cannot come at Hajj time, but the number increased. Muslims came more. And more business took place, and more enrichment. They become richer and richer and richer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the wealth. So in khiftum aylatan, this is really a miraculous thing that happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَصَوْفَ يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Allah will make you rich. And Allah made them rich. The people of Makkah never were afraid of poverty. And never they ever went through a famine and all kind of hardships that other cities went through. Insha, Allah says, يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ Insha, if Allah wills. Of course, everything depends on the will of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah knows everything, Allah is wise. So don't worry. Insha'Allah, people will come. And business will remain and grow. And you will be able to perform Hajj and you perform all the other things at the same time. Because, I mean, Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَضْتُ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَاسْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. Seek the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is allowed. When you perform Hajj, you can also do business if you want to. So, yeah, you are الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسٌ. The mushrikeen will not come here. This area is special. And this is near the Masjid al-Haram, the sacred house of Allah. So it has to be clean and pure. And people are going to come. Those who believe in Allah, those who believe in the prophets of Allah, those who believe in Tawheed, observe the Tawheed, they come. And inshallah, Allah will give you. Allah will give you the bounties of Allah. So here the ayah number 28 actually completes the discussion about the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, about the cancellation of the treaty and all of the discussion that was going on in the 28th ayat that was done. But then what happened? After Hunayn, the Prophet ﷺ returned to Medina. And then he heard that, the news reached to him that the people in the north, that is the area that is northern border, Jordan area, the borders of Syria. And then before that, there is an area called Tabuk, the city of Tabuk, which is now in Saudi Arabia. So that's this area, Tabuk area. That there are Christian forces. Tabuk, the rulers of that area were Byzantine, the Romans. And they used to rule, and they also had Arab states, Arab city government. They were allies of the Byzantine. They were under the Byzantine. So, the news reached that they are planning to attack. Why they were planning to attack? Because they never had any problem with Arabia. They thought that Arabia is a desert area and their tribes are living divided and then there is no power. So they were not afraid of that area. But when they saw that a new power has emerged there, and has unified the tribes and taken over Mecca, taken over Taif and all of these things. So they were alarmed. What's happening in our neighborhood? So they wanted to crush this new emerging power. And they prepared a big army. Rasulullah, of course, was very conscious, very alert, what is going on. It's not that he'll not pay attention. So he used to pay attention what is going on around there. So when this news reached, it was difficult time. Muslims were poor and it was summertime, very hot weather. But Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, go, let's go. Let them not come to us, but we'll go. And he took a large number of people, almost 30,000 people. So Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took a large number of people. And that was in Tabuk area. And told everybody there, everybody has to come. Unless somebody is sick. Unless somebody has some other excuse, otherwise come. So the people came, except the munafiqeen. They had, of course, the hypocrites. They made up excuses and they did not join. And this surah is called Surah Tawbah because there were three people who were sincere believers, Muslims, Sahaba, but they did not go. And when the Prophet came, they said, well, we cannot make up a story. We cannot make a false excuse because he has access to Wahi. Allah will tell him. So they told the truth. That they were thinking that they'll join, but they procrastinated. So they said, this was there. So Prophet said, you have to make tawbah. And they made tawbah. For almost 50 days, people did not speak to them. And they turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, Allah accepted their tawbah. Allah says, we have those ayat that will come. Allah had accepted the tawbah of the three people who were left behind. So here it is mentioned that go. And before these people come towards you and destroy you, you have to go and fight them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, and further discussion comes on that. But this ayah says, قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَلَا يَدِينُونَ دِينَ الْحَقَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ حَتَّى يُعْتُوا الْجِزْيَةَ عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ. This is a strong ayah. But the ayah is in a context. The people were preparing to fight and attack Muslims and destroy the community that Prophet ﷺ raised and worked so hard to build that. So Allah says, قَاتِلُوا, fight them. Because they are fighting you, so you fight them. Remember that we mentioned that the difference between uqtulu and qatilu. Uqtulu means kill. Qatilu, fight. And you cannot fight unless somebody is fighting you. So they are coming to fight you, so you fight them. You defend yourself. You defend your territory, your state. You defend that. Your government, you state that. You defend your people. So Allah says, قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And these people, although they are Ahlul Kitab, they are the people of the book, Ahlul Kitab are Christians or Jews. Although they are Ahlul Kitab, they believe in the book. And the book is the book of Allah, Bible, the Torah and the Injil. So they believe in that. And we respect them because of that. But they have forgotten the teachings of the book. The teaching of the book was Tawheed. There is only one God. And many of them have compromised this belief in the oneness of Allah. And also, the book teaches that there will be a day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question people about their life. And everybody has to give the account of their life. But they also have compromised the belief in the last day. They have belief in the last day, but in a very different way. That they will be forgiven and somebody has paid the price for that and all of these things. So the beliefs have become very different. Not the way that were taught by the prophets of Allah, by Jesus, peace be upon him, by Musa alayhi salam and others. So Allah says, these are the people, they look like they believe in Allah, but actually they don't believe in Allah. La yu'minuna billah. That means they don't believe in the same way. And of course, they have a right to believe whatever they want to believe, but not to come to attack, not to fight. So they are coming to fight, and also at the same time, they have abandoned the true beliefs of Isa alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. So la yu'minuna billahi wa la bil yawmil akhir. They do not believe in Allah, they do not believe in the last day, they do not make haram whatever Allah made haram. They drink, they eat pork, they eat this and this, all kind of things they do. La yuharrimuna ma harram Allah. Their own prophets told them not to do this, but they are still doing it, they're doing it. And the deen that they have, it is not really true religion, not really in the right way of the way Allah sent through their prophets. So Allah said, وَلَا يَدِينُونَ دِينَ الْحَقِّ. The message of Isa alayhi salam was true. The message of Musa alayhi salam was true. But they have abandoned that message. They are not taking that message seriously. So Allah said, they do not believe in Allah. They do not believe in the last day. They do not make haram what Allah made haram. Allah and His messengers made haram, and they do not follow the true religion, and now they have come to attack you, and they want to destroy this message, the Prophet's teaching, they want to destroy that. So stand up and defend yourself and defeat them. And you continue with this, hatta yu'tul jizyata an yadim wa hum saghirun, until they become, they subdue, they are defeated, and they pay you jizya, they pay you a special tax. And an yadin, willingly, they accept that. They said, we'll give you the jizya. And if they accept that they will give you the jizya, then stop the fight. They can live as Christians, they can live as Jews, they can live as people and whatever belief they have. But at the same time, they have to recognize the authority of Islam. And they have to subject to that. So jizya is something given in place of something. Something is given in lieu of something. That's what jizya is. The jizya was imposed on them. They was given a special tax was imposed on them. Why? They were allowed to follow their own religion. They were free to practice whatever religion they had. They follow that. Second thing is, they promised that they are not going to fight Muslims. They are not going to attack the Islamic government. And the third thing is that they pay jizya, a tax. And they are not asked, they will not be asked to join the army. So they will be protected, but they are not asked to join the army. So military service they will not do. And so they live free, peaceful, safe. Their churches will be safe. Their religious practices are allowed, but at the same time, and they are not asked to defend the Islamic State by military. So they pay a certain amount, a small amount, they pay as tax, and then the Islamic State will provide them protection. So for that reason, so that's why it's called jizya. And if someone is willing to serve in the army, then he will be exempt from that. And jizya will be taken only from the able-bodied men. It is not taken from women. It's not taken from old people. It is not taken from children, young people. And it's not taken from the monks. Monks who are for meditation. They don't go into involved into anything else. So those people who do not fight and those people who are not capable to fight, like old people, sick people, no jizya taken from them. But actually they are helped by the Islamic State. If they are sick, they will be helped. If they are old, they will be helped. So it's only from young people who are able-bodied, who can join the army, they are the one who had to pay something, income, in the place of serving in the army. That's why it's called jizya. And of course, later in the Muslims abused that. They did not follow the strict teachings of Islam. So it is in the time of Umayyad and Bani Abbas, some people misused that. But the teaching of Islam about jizya is that this is something that is a service will be provided to them, and for that they will pay. They will not pay zakat. Zakat is only for Muslims. Muslims will pay zakat. Any other taxes taken from Muslims, but from them only jizya will be taken. So Allah says, This is like a preparation for that. So you have to support yourself. So you have to defend yourself and fight these people. And they should not come and tell that we believe in Moses, that we believe in Jesus, we believe in the books of Allah and all of this thing. Because, I mean, they claim that, but actually this is not what they are doing. They have changed those things and they are not following truly the teachings. And then, and over and above that, I mean, if somebody wants to do that, they are free to practice. But then over and above that, they try to impose that upon others. And because they are doing that and trying to fight you, so you have a right to stand up. قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَلَا يَدِينُونَ دِينَ الْحَقِّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ. الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ, the two terms are used in the Quran for people, الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ or أَهْلِ الْكِتَابَ. الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ and أَهْلِ الْكِتَابَ is the same thing. Those who are given the book or do, are the people of the book. And the people of the book basically are considered as Jews and Christians, but later Muslim scholars said that is, they are people of other religions as well, should be treated in the same way. Although they are not called Ahlul Kitab, but they are Sannu Bihim Sunnat Ahlul Kitab. Treat them like the people of the book. When the Muslims came to, in the Umayyad period, when they came to India, to Sindh, Muhammad ibn al-Qasim came to Sindh. And then he wrote to the Khalifa and said to him that these people are not Christians, these people are not Jews. We don't know what kind of religion they have, because they're Hindus, so they never met before Hindus. We don't know what religion they have. What should we do to them? So Khalifa gathered a council of ulama, the scholars, and asked them, what should we do with them? So the people made a final decision and said, Sannu bihim sunnat ahlil kitab. Treat them like the people of the book. Except that we will not marry their women and we will not eat the meat if they bring to us as zabayah, sacrifice animals, and they bring to us, we'll not do that. Because with people of the book, with Christians and Jews, we can eat the meat if they prepare it in the right way. And also, it is permissible for to Muslims to marry Jewish or Christian women. So it is permissible, but it is not permissible with any other religion. So ulama's decision was, Sannu bihim sunnat ahli kitab, treat them like the people of the book, except that we are not going to marry their women. And I mean, marry their woman is a permission, it's not a command. But it's only a permission. We will not marry their woman and we will not eat their zabayah. That means whatever sacrifices they make, whatever animal they slaughter, we will not eat that. So that remained the rule. And so, حَتَّى يُعْتُ الْجِزْيَةَ يَدِيمُهُمْ صَغْرُونَ. And as far as jizya is concerned, as I mentioned last time, no other taxes, no other responsibility that were there. That's why there was jizya. But nowadays, the taxes are so much. If people tell them, if you tell the people that, look, you have only to give jizya and no taxes, you'll be very happy. Because now taxes have become like 20%, 25%, 50% of all the income that you make. So may Allah keep us on the right path and bless us. Okay, let's take some questions, inshallah. So that Brother Abdul Rahab.
On 8th, the Prophet went to the Makkah. He destroyed all the idols of that time. On 9th, he ordered that from now on, nobody can enter the mosque. But now what he mentioned that some of the people were coming inside the selling the merchandise. Nowadays, the boundary is a little bit bigger than the compared. What's the reason?
Boundaries of Mecca?
So now they cannot enter the Mecca,
yeah,
because of non-Muslims. So were there boundaries, same boundary or?
Yeah, same boundaries, but these boundaries of haram.
I see.
There are boundaries of Masjid al-Haram.
Okay.
Even Masjid al-Haram is too big now. The Masjid al-Haram was Masjid al-Haram was small. Now, even it's bigger than the city of Mecca at that time. I mean, there are almost 2-3 million people who can pray there. It's a big, big masjid. And so boundaries of haram are remain the same. You have Kaaba, you have Masjid al-Haram, you have the city of Mecca, you have haram. So there's several boundaries. So what is there? The haram boundary. That is, they say that you cannot enter there. So according to majority, this is the way. But according to Imam Hanifa, if there is a need, they can go. You can enter there. Yeah, but this is not practiced today. And majority position is taken. Now.
But sir,
Ghazwa
Hunain took place right after the Fath al-Makkah, or what is the time frame of in between Fath al-Makkah and Ghazwa Hunain?
Well, a few months after that, still within a few months. My Prophet was still there in Mecca at the time.
He was still there. Okay.
Yeah, he didn't go back to Medina. And, no, he was still there. And he was trying to establish the city and bring order and peace. And many people were coming and accepting Islam. There is all this happening. And there suddenly he learned that, no, Taif nearby, 50 miles or so, they are coming to attack us. Because they were trying to unturn the whole thing. They're trying to destroy the whole thing that happened. They said that this is now the time. Let us immediately go and attack, and otherwise there will be no chance for kufr.
One of the reasons they say that Banu Hawazin was very expert.
Yeah,
good.
Yes, yes.
They were one of the most expert.
And they came, jumped from the hills of Taif. They came, and in some places they jumped on the necks of the people. So that was the kind of people. Okay. Anybody else?
Assalamualaikum, Doctor.
Fadlo. Who is speaking?
Yeah, Kaleem Farooqi.
Yeah,
just a couple of questions and a request at the end. The current visa processing of Saudi is very generic. So anybody can enter and they can easily walk into Mecca, right? So there is no really that kind of checks like used to be before. Even for visa processors, you have to state you are Muslim and this and that. So how it is being addressed, and down the road, how you see this potential infiltration in the name of a Muslim type thing? That's one question. The second question was about the angels coming to help the forces. So I'm sure there is some reference in the hadith how the Sahaba felt the presence of the angels. What were the signs, or what was the any observation in that area? And the last request was that in your du'as, inshallah, please remember all the mothers, since America is making du'a for mothers.
Yeah, your question about the non-Muslims entering Mecca, I think the rule is still there. Nobody has changed that, to my knowledge, that those boundaries are still there. And sometimes they check the passports of the people, check the names. And especially if the name sounds Muslim name and people are wearing ihram and all those things. Yeah, they are. So some people enter, but not by declaring that they are, they don't believe and that's why they're going. That's not, but the rule is there. That is, and it's the sign that says mintaqa mahzura li ghayr al-muslimin, the area that is forbidden to non-Muslims, that sign is still there. It's not taken away. So that rule is followed. The second point about the angels, I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Junudan lam tarauha. These are invisible forces. But they were there to help and to support and to strengthen. وَسَبِّتُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And the Quran says in Surah Al-Anfal, give stability to the feet of the believers. So they came to give a special support, a special help. And this is a special strength from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the angels, whether they fought alongside the believers or they simply came to give strength. As said in Surah Al-Anfal, وَمَا جَعْلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. That Allah has made it as a good news for you, that you have 5,000 angels at your support. It's a good news. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا النَّصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. The help and the victory comes from Allah. So victory does not come from the angels. They come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, Allah has different ways of helping. I mean, He has forces of the hell. لِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Allah belong the forces of the heaven and the earth. Allah can use anything as His force and give victory to those who stand for the cause of Allah. So if people are truthful, sincere, and Allah's help will come to them.
I heard before that Sahaba observed that when they found the dead bodies, they don't recall who killed them. Is that something in the history books? After the battle gets over.
There is the thing, وَمَا قَتَلُوا وَمَا قَتَلُوا لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ. You did not kill them, but Allah killed them. It is mentioned there. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. You did not throw the arrows or your stones, except what Allah did that. So that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped directly or through the angels. It might have happened that way. But as I said, only Allah knows how his hidden forces, they bring the victory. Barakallahu fikum. Good. Any other questions? So may Allah bless us and give us the understanding. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'a. وأرنا الباطل باطلا ورزقنا اجتنابه صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أتباعه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.